It's time for the Apple Watchcast. WWDC goes all online. Apple closes all stores outside of China. New MacBook Air, iPad Pro with new Magic Keyboard, and new spring color Apple Watch bands released. WatchOS 6.2 is coming soon, and an app that teaches you to stop touching your face. Plus, using an iPad instead of a laptop, and Bill Bryson audiobooks. This and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/applewatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And I want to give a shout out and thank you to Luann Smith for being a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Thank you, Luann. We really do appreciate your continued support. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 320, recorded Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. Magically expensive.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello, Tom. I'm homeward bound in Knoxville now for 3 weeks.
Wow, I'm going to be home a lot longer than that.
Yes, you are, aren't you?
Yeah, all of our shows got canceled, and so we drove home from Atlanta. And so we've been here about 3 or 4 days. And trip to Taiwan doesn't look like that's going to happen in May.
Not at all.
And June's not looking good. I think I may be here till August or September at least.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, by the way, Vincent is, he's under the weather today, but he assures us it is not COVID. He does not have that, but he is but he is not feeling well. So he's taking the week off here. Yeah, I hope he feels better.
Yeah, me too. Hope you feel better, Vincent.
Yeah, bad time to not feel good around the way.
Totally.
It's crazy. It seems like every week we do this show, it's like a different version of the world. You know,
it is, yes.
It's been another crazy week. I mean, how are you doing through all this?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm home. I'm not really doing anything. And my job is like today was the latest I got started in a week and a half, and that was 8 o'clock in the morning. I've been getting up for 4:30 a.m. conference calls with China every day, and then India kicks in,
wow.
And then Europe kicks in, and you know, by 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I'm wore out. And all we're doing is planning, because you know we have thousands of people supporting my clients, and they're all going home to work. And if you look at I'm just taking a computer from an office in an Indian office and taking it home, it's a total new experience. And doing one of those is a new experience, and we're trying to do like 60,000.
Oh man.
so it has been painful.
Yeah. And a lot of people going through this right now.
Not just us. That's for
yeah,
sure.
So you're working from home. I'm trying to work from home. There's only so much we can do. So I guess, you know, we had talked about taking some time off from all this traveling, taking a year and just focusing on creating new product and stuff like that. I think this is the year.
I think
it was decided for us. Anyway, we're doing our part for social distancing. I mean, we're in two separate cities in two different states right now. So
yes, we are.
At least we can still do this show throughout all of this. But I'll tell you,
there's stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot. Now, I have to tell you, though, I have never had such extreme swings from it's fine, I feel fine, no problems, to I coughed, and I'm going to check my forehead for fever. I feel like it's only a matter of time until I get it. Usually, and I swing like this twice a day now. So you know, the symptoms for this are kind of what I feel like I have a lot of anyway. You know, mm-hmm. listeners of the show know about my frequent coughing spells,
which
is from asthma and allergies. It's not anything else. I do get headaches from time to time, and I do feel exhausted from time to time. So I have the symptoms. It's just from other things, and tends to make you a little nervous sometimes when that happens. But
it does. It does. For me, it's before I go to the gym every day, I check the app and I'm like, oh, it's open. I mm-hmm. went today, closed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they have a sign on the door. They didn't update the app.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right. I've been doing elliptical more instead of running because I'm just getting older and my legs just get kind of sore after a run. So I'm like, all right, now I have to run outside, which is like the worst. And then you go run outside and you see someone you're running coming the other way. You're like, do I just swing around them a little bit?
It's funny. It's not funny, but I did that too this morning on a run, and you pass someone, you're just on a sidewalk.
Right.
And I kind of like went off in the grass and they went as far over to the side as they could, you know? It's like, what is the protocol here?
Yeah.
I think you're not 6 feet away, but you're close, I guess.
That's good protocol, Tom.
Yeah. I see a future in which everyone has an Apple Watch, and there's a feature of the watch that gives you a strong haptic feedback if you're within 6 feet of someone else with a watch. We need a social distancing app is what we need.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey,
get on that.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. And then another thing I had thought of was we need a sensor on the watch to take your temperature constantly, which mm-hmm. would give you an alert as soon as it starts to rise. And I was wondering if that was possible, but actually in the news today, I found something that someone is actually working on something like that.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. We'll get to it and we'll talk about it. I'm not so sure about it, but I wasn't the only one with that thought. I went to the grocery store. I don't want to make all of this all about the COVID, but have you been to the grocery store?
I mean, I don't make frequent trips there, but I went there. So just, I don't want to get off tangent either, but my small business, I was stocking up on things in case I couldn't get toilet paper or paper towels. So yes, I did go to the stores to get some stuff because everyone was buying it and I didn't want to be out of it. So I bought some and store it.
Yeah. It's crazy. When you think about the fact that everybody all at once wants to go buy 2 weeks worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not necessarily hoarding. It's just too many people buying all at the same time. But I went into the store. It was fine. It was like 10 in the morning. Got what I needed. See, a lot of some stuff was out, or you had to switch to a different brand or whatever. It's fine. Whatever. It's there. Checked out. And when I got to the checkout, the exit doors were closed. Mm. And one of the employees hand opened it for me. It's one of those automatic doors. Mm-hmm. Opened it for me and said, thank you. And when I got outside, the entrance was closed as well, and there's now a line.
Oh, gosh.
And there was police there. So the only thing I could think of was that they're limiting the number of people going in the store at one time.
They were, so they can all be outside next to each other.
Exactly. In line. I'm like, that's not good. That's not good. So,
I don't know. Remember, I own a small bar, and in Tennessee, we haven't been shut down yet, but what we've done is we've limited our hours, and I'm just trying not to shut down so I can at least pay my employees so they have something. They're not going to get too much tips, but they're getting hourly wage, and we pay minimum wage and not server's wage. So they're making something. But I put on every other table, I put something to say, you know, this table's not available. We're practicing good social distancing techniques things like that. And we've had decent crowds. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's too many people in there. And I never say that.
Right. They've closed them down here, even in my area. I'm in the Houston area, but I'm in Fort Bend County, which is a much, you know, it's not Harris County, which is Houston, but even Fort mm-hmm. Bend County has closed all the restaurants and bars, and they're only for takeout or delivery.
Right.
So they've already shut that down. And I think it's going to be done by each local place.
Agreed.
Right? It's not a national thing yet.
We're not there yet.
No, not yet.
Because of the 90 cases in Tennessee, I think like 75 of them are in Nashville. So centralized in Tennessee, and there's like six or seven out in the East Tennessee where I'm at. So it's not too bad, but not that they're ignoring it. They just haven't gone the pure shutdown yet.
Right. And so far, the only cases here in Fort Bend County, I think there's a dozen of them or so, but they're all from travel-related So there's no community spread yet here. So that's good news. Good. But man, it's crazy. Anyway, okay, let's move on.
Let's do our jobs here.
We actually have some fun stuff to talk about.
Amidst
all of this, you know, insanity, there's some neat stuff happening. So let me kind of back up here and make sure we can get everything included. The first big news here was that Apple, as expected, announced that WWDC for 2020 will be coming in June, but as a total online experience. So that is something we were kind of expecting anyway.
Correct.
And, you know, and when you think about it, a big portion of it already was online, but now 100%. So at this event where Apple normally previews new, you know, iOS, iPad iOS, Mac OS, Watch OS, TV OS, all the OSs are revealed and they get the developer betas are released. There's a big keynote speech. All of that's going to be done online. They're going to have a full online schedule of the sessions as well. And they said more details are coming as we get closer. And Craig Federighi, the Senior Vice President of Software Engineering, has said that with all the new products and technologies we've been working on, WWDC 2020 is going to be big. So there's a lot going on for Apple for this. Now, this is interesting. Apple said it would also contribute $1 million to local San Jose organizations to help offset the economic hit to the city because WWDC will not physically be there.
Oh, great. That's great.
That's nice. I did not know they were doing that. So good for them. We knew that was coming. So that we can all experience it kind of at the same time now.
Yes.
And speaking of that, Apple has shut down all of its stores worldwide, ironically, except for China, which they've just reopened. So they're closing all of its stores outside of China. Now, initially, it was just for 2 weeks. I think that's probably been put to kind of be indefinite at the moment. I don't know if they know when they would reopen, but they've closed everything. And I think Tim Cook has said that they did learn a lot from the whole shutdown of the Apple stores in China about how to better assist, you know, and respond to all of this. So I think when they do reopen, they're going to have certain protocols and things in place. And we're talking about 500 retail stores worldwide
that are probably crowded from the time they open the doors to the time they close them.
Yeah, they had to close these. Those are they're so packed, and everybody's touching everything.
Exactly.
I mean, that would be the, you know, the only one other thing I can think of that'd be a better way to transmit a disease would be at a poker table. All the chips, all the cards, everybody's touching them, right? But all the devices on the tables, the iPads that everybody touches and tries. And there's always a ton of people in there. But they're all closed down. But the good news is they're still open online. You can still get stuff from Apple directly to your door. So that is good news if you're looking for that. Now, speaking of new good stuff from Apple today, glad we waited one extra day here. They announced a bunch of new stuff. Now, I have a feeling that all this stuff was supposed to be a March event, which they never even sent out invites for. They never even tried to have it. They just released it today.
I think so.
Yeah, because there's too much of it here, and it's all kind of connected. So the first thing here I want to mention is a new MacBook Air with the new scissor switch keyboard, which was, I think, was on the 16-inch MacBook, the new one that is supposedly better than the one everybody complained about, has come out. So it's, let's see, it replaces the old butterfly keyboard. That's what they used to call that one. So they've doubled the storage on the base unit. It now starts at 256 gigabytes, and it can go all the way up to 2 terabytes. That's nice. For education market, now they're offering 128 gigabyte MacBook Air priced at $799, whereas I think it's $899 normally. Is it like $100 off maybe? Or was it $999? I don't know which version. Anyway, education is always a little bit cheaper. It's going to run the 10th generation of the Intel CPUs and a 1.2 gigahertz quad core i7. This is a sweet little
that's nice
notebook here. This is this is great. And the really good news, you can order it right now, starting today. So can't go in and try it out anywhere, but you can order it today if you're if you've been holding off for a new laptop.
That is a lot of memory, a lot of space, I should say, storage space. That's, yeah, that's amazing.
And the Airs are so small and thin. It's incredible. Now to the next thing. This is the one I'm the most excited about. This is the one that they completely hooked me with. In that we now have a new iPad Pro with a new backlit Magic Keyboard case, and you can order all of this today. Now, the new iPad Pro is powered by, what do they call this? The A12Z processor, okay? And it has a new camera setup on the back. This is pretty cool. So now this new Magic Keyboard is okay, we'll get into that in a second.
We will.
Let's get back to the iPad here. I'm getting ahead of myself. they've doubled the base storage from the 2018 models of the iPad Pro. So that's good. As an 8-core CPU, 8-core GPU, along with Apple's Neural Engine, you get 10 hours of battery life. And LTE, they say that's 60% faster. Really? Mm. Wow. Is that? I guess that's real. That seems like a huge improvement. Now, this new keyboard, and this is rumored, you had talked about it before, is a what they're calling a Magic Keyboard. It has a floating design. So it's got angle adjustments to it. Mm-hmm. It attaches magnetically to the iPad Pro and features what they call unique cantilevered hinges that allow it to just adjust up to 130 degrees. The keyboard uses Apple's scissor switch mechanism, same as what we were just talking about, and it's mm-hmm. backlit. Wow. The look on this thing reminds me of the old... it's kind of like the iMacs now. They kind of pivot on the
thing. It is. Yeah. Thing. If you look at it, yeah, the picture they have here, if you look down on it quickly, it looks like a Mac.
It does. It looks just like the Mac, but it's a keyboard. And in that hinge, that round barrel of the hinge is where a USB port is. You plug in on the end of it. That's pretty cool.
Very neat.
Great design.
You know what's interesting, Tom, is do you notice the speed of an iPad versus noticing the speed of a Mac when you do things? 60% faster on the iPad, that's going to be like blazing fast because the iPad seem to work fast as they are.
Oh, no, 60% LTE that's faster.
Ah, okay.
LTE, sorry, I didn't clarify that. LTE is 60% faster.
All right.
Which, again, I don't know how they're doing that. I guess they got some new chipset or something there.
Yeah.
To connect with. But with the new chip, new processors, it should be faster anyway. 8-core?
Yeah.
Ought to be pretty,
it would be
pretty quick. So, yeah, as I said, USB-C port on the hinge, USB-C pass-through charging, keeping the USB-C port on the iPad free so that you can add accessories to it like external drives and displays. Mm. So that's a neat idea. Mm-hmm. And they Apple also noted that there's an updated smart keyboard folio without a trackpad as well. So they've updated the folio version as well. Mm-hmm. That's the one I had. That's the one that died on me. It quit making a connection.
Yep. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It stopped connecting. I had to go buy a third party keyboard for it. Apple says it will also update its iWork apps to take full advantage of the trackpad and opened up a whole new way to work with your documents. There'll be new templates and pages and Keynote. Looking for that. There's a new LiDAR camera array on the back. A LiDAR scanner measures the distance to surrounding objects up to 5 meters away. That's gotta be for AR, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be.
Nice.
Yeah.
How many pictures have you taken with your iPad?
A few, not as many as my phone, because I don't always have my iPad with me.
I think I've taken zero. All the iPads I've ever owned, I don't think I've ever taken a picture with one.
Really? Well,
no.
This one has a 12 megapixel wide camera as well as a 10 megapixel ultra wide camera lens.
Mm-hmm.
And they upgraded the microphone system. It now features 5 studio quality microphones that capture super clean audio. There you go. How nice is that?
Mm.
Okay, you ready? You sitting down?
Yes.
The Magic Keyboard for the 11-inch iPad Pro is $299. If you have the 12.9 iPad Pro, it's $349.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
And is it back? Is it go back generation?
It does. It goes back to the, let's see if I get this right, third and fourth generation. The previous two work with it.
Okay, then it'll work with mine then. Yeah, I don't have to get a new iPad Pro at least.
I do. I have like the first or second one of the Pro. Okay. So, but $350, it's for a magic key.
It's magic, Tom.
It's magically expensive is what it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Who said Lucky Charms? It's magically expensive. Yeah. It's great. That, you know, that's the worst feature of it. It is such a cool thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the worst feature. But, you know, they always put a good price on the good stuff, right?
They do. And I think we're going to see what happens. I mean, I'm not going to make any major purchases for quite a while. And I'm sure a lot of people are feeling that way. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out in the pricing market.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've been in the market for a new iPad Pro for a while. And not because I necessarily need one. I just kind of want the new features, you know, especially now that they've just upped the ante here. Now, the 12.9-inch iPad Pro starts at $999 for the Wi-Fi model and $1,149 for the Wi-Fi and cellular. Mm-hmm. The 11-inch starts at $799 for Wi-Fi and $949 for Wi-Fi and cellular. So those are about right in line with what they were.
They were. Yeah.
And as I said, they doubled the starting configuration, 128 gigabyte, which is up from the ridiculous 64 that they had previously. Mm-hmm. That they definitely, they probably should have gone further. But you can
what
also.
What size do you have?
What size? I think I have the 512.
No, the size.
Of 12.9. I got the very first.
12.9?
The very first one they came out with the pencil.
Okay.
So it's been a while. It's been a number of years. So I even have the old pencil too. I don't even have the updated one with all the features. But anyway, you can configure
I have
this.
The second generation pencil.
Oh, you do? Nice.
Yeah.
So this goes up to 256 gig, 512, and 1 terabyte. And by the way, the first orders will start arriving March 25th. That's next week, right?
It is.
That's
next
week
Tuesday
from,
or Wednesday.
That's a week from today.
That's right. 2 weeks from today, Wednesday. Is today Wednesday? I've lost track of time.
Yes.
When I don't travel, I don't know what date is.
today is Wednesday. So
okay.
Yeah. Now it says here, Apple, the Magic Keyboard will work with the iPad Pro 12.9-inch third and fourth generation. That leaves me out.
The iPad I see it right there.
Pro 11-inch one, the first and second generation. So now, also, I will put a link in the show notes to this. But on The Verge, they had a video from Craig Federighi.
Yes, it was nice.
Showing you how to use the new, how that new trackpad actually works and what they're doing with the software, which is pretty amazing to turn this more into a real computer. Mm-hmm. As the subhead in this article says, it's unlike any mouse cursor you've ever used before. It's a combination between a kind of a normal trackpad and a mouse click thing. Mm-hmm. It's weird, but it looks like it's very, very useful. Now, how'd you like the video? It looked like they just took an empty or empty desk space on Apple's campus and stuck him in front of it and started filming, because behind him you can see the rest of the ring of the the campus.
Yeah.
So instead of him being up on stage, they just said, look, let's just do it right here, shoot it, and we'll put it online.
Yeah, this didn't in a room. It was well done. I mean, it's a nice video.
Yeah, nice little cutaways and close-ups and things like that. So anyway, I'm excited about that. That's going to be tough for me not to to place an order. So I'm gonna hold off for the moment.
When I talk about what I like this week, you know, I've gotten – It's really odd to, and I don't want to get ahead of myself into what I like this week, but there's a couple of things you really have to get used to use your iPad as your main device. And one of them is touchscreen.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're just like, oh man, I'm so tired of just touching the screen all the time. So this will help. That trackpad's going to be really good.
Well, I have to tell you, when I'm using the keyboard, And I have a bridge keyboard for my iPad Pro. Really nice keyboard. Mm-hmm. I find my thumb trying to slam down on a trackpad constantly looking for that trackpad.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to that on my laptop.
Yes, you are.
And your brain just says you're using a laptop. So I'm glad they actually did this. And it looks like they did it quite well. So we'll see.
Yeah. And as I've said before, having the backlit keys, that's what I love on my MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. And the MacBook, that is the best thing.
Yeah, the Bridge keyboard has it's backlit as well, which is nice.
Yeah, you mentioned that on the show last week. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good keyboard. I recommend it for people to look into for your older iPads, because if not, this is the one to get. The one Apple just announced. And if you've got the money,
right.
So let's see what else. Oh, this is cool. Of course, we get this every year. Apple has debuted a spring lineup of iPhone cases and Apple Watch bands.
They have, yes.
All new colors. And again, they're coordinating. It looks like you get new iPad folio colors, the iPhone cases, Power Beats now come in different colors, red, white, and black. But let's go through. I went on the site here to look at the bands. I wanted to see what's new. In the sport band, the flubber bands, you've got a cactus color. You've got grapefruit, surf blue. That looks like it for the sport bands. Now, the sport loop is where you get quite a few new ones. You get sunshine, which is a nice yellow and green, a vitamin C, a surf blue again, a neon lime. Neon lime, and what else? Neon pink. What else is new here? The sport bands. You have a black lime blast Nike sport band, a midnight turquoise with aurora green. It's another color. So just picture these in your mind.
Looking at them.
In the Nike sport loop. Okay, the one that has the reflective threads in it. Mm-hmm. We get a world indigo and then a lime blast color. We get a hyper crimson and a Neptune green together. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get a couple of those. Oh, in leather, the modern buckle, which is back, you have a raspberry now. That's nice. You have a deep sea blue and you have a peacock color. Mm-hmm. And then in the Hermes leather, you have a a gold Swift leather single tour, an orange Swift leather single tour, a Swift leather all over print. You got a couple of those in different styles. You've got a single tour rally. What is this? A gala leather. Yeah.
Right.
Black. A rally. That's the circle, the holes. That's what does that in it. Makes it that style.
Yeah.
Anyway, a bunch of those.
Well, it's funny that they have four new ones from the Hermes.
Yeah.
So it's a nice lineup.
I like some of these.
Me too.
Yeah. I like a lot of these, especially the sport loops, man. I am hooked on sport loops now.
Are you? I like the peacock leather loop. I like those bands. I really like those leather loop bands.
Say that twice.
Yes, I was trying. And no, they're $99 now, right? They used to be $449.
Yeah.
So I've got all three of the ones that were previous, and now although I don't find a lot of time to wear the lemon one, but I just like those bands. But you like the sport loop bands, and those are nice. The new ones are slick.
So comfortable. It's the two-tone.
Yeah.
I didn't like the two-tone at first, but now I love it. See?
Yeah.
Apple knows better. They know me better than I do. because they're growing on me a lot. So anyway, lots of new bands. That's fun. Check all that out. And then we got a little bit of more information still spilling out from what watchOS 7 is supposed to include. And this is new. Apparently, we have international Apple Watch faces with multiple country flags in them.
Thumbs up on that.
Yeah.
So really like those.
A new watch face, and I'll put a link in the show notes so everybody can see them. A new watch face called International, which I think we mentioned, but we didn't know quite what it was. It's supposed to be flags from different countries. Now, there's no details on what complications go with this, but you can see how these are images they extracted from iOS 14 so they can kind of get an idea of what they look like. And they're pretty slick. I like it. It's a neat idea.
Well, going back to Zach's article a month or so ago where mm-hmm. you'd have dynamic watch faces based on location, you could just say, you know, I want the flag locations. And whenever you travel around, wherever you land, yeah. you just look at your watch and the flag's on the watch. Wouldn't that be neat?
That'd be very, very cool when we get to do that in 2 or 3 years. travel, that is.
I caught that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see, what else? Oh, there's something else they learned. We talked about sharing watch faces. Mm-hmm. We're talking about sharing personal watch faces. Apparently, you can do it through iMessage, AirDrop, or other apps. And they said, however, the faces from Nike and Hermes are exclusive to some Apple Watch models, and those are not shareable. See, we had that question, too. I didn't think they would
We
be.
Did, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, sleep tracking is supposed to be in there. Again, this is all mm-hmm. rumor as far as the OS 7 goes here. But sounds pretty solid if they're pulling images here.
Yes, pulling images. We've had a mm-hmm. couple different sources right. as well. So that helps kind of validate it.
Right. Now, speaking of OS releases, apparently today Apple also released iOS 13.4 and watchOS 6.2 Gold Masters to the developers. That's the last one before the release to the public. So that, and those had a very long period of beta testing. So those should be, we should be looking for those pretty soon. Now, those are the ones that have, let's see, one of the major changes, see, for 13.4 and for iPad OS 13.4 is the advanced mouse support, which will go along with the new iPad Pro and Magic Keyboard. Mm-hmm. So that's a system level feature that's being shipped with those. You know, they say the cursor appears as a floating circle that can highlight elements in the user interface. It's pretty slick. I'll put a link in the show notes to that video. You can see how it works. As for Watch 6.2, it enables ECG app and irregular heart rhythm notifications in Chile, New Zealand, and Turkey. And it will also allow users to make in-app purchases with the Apple Watch for the first time. So look for those.
Good for that, for the, those countries. That's good.
Yep. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Looks like they also posted here that Zach's podcast coming up for Happy Hour is all about these releases. So if you wanted to listen to that,
nice.
Just give him a little... Little props.
Yeah, I'd like to listen to that. Hear him go into detail in these.
Yeah. I'm going to do the same. I got some extra time, so.
Nice. Yeah, I think we all do. We all have a little bit of extra time on our hands. And the last thing here on the news I want to mention, actually there's two things, but the first one I want to mention here comes from, University of Hawaii, which confused me for a minute because here in Houston, it's U of H is the University of Houston.
You do have that.
But anyway, a professor there created an app to stop you from touching your face. Very timely during this pandemic. The app is called Jalapeno, which is, I guess, jalapeno, maybe. That's what they're calling it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I guess you pronounce it jalapeno. Anyway, it's... created specifically for the Fitbit Ionic, and the device will vibrate anytime your hand comes near your face. This would have been one of our app or craps not too long ago.
Yes.
Anyway, the creator of this, she said, I hope it will be a fun way for people to practice good discipline when it comes to hygiene and face touching. She currently teaches a class on design for mobile devices in computer science department at the university. And this was a personal project. She said, on average, office workers touch their face 23 times an hour. That's a lot.
I would guess that. Yes.
Now, this app is 99 cents. And the really cool thing is that she's developing a version for the Apple Watch. So looking forward to that. Perfect timing.
Yeah, Do you notice yourself, feel yourself, I should say, notice yourself touching your face more often now?
I notice it, but I also notice an itch that I then stop myself and say, I'm not going to touch that. Because I'm only itching because I'm thinking about it, right? Suddenly your nose itches, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you talk about it. Now, this last thing I want to talk about, I just saw this pop up today. There's a new app that uses the Apple Watch data to predict flu and or cold before symptoms appear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a new AI app. It's called ACHU Health, Achu Health. And the app is called Sick Scan for iPhone, Apple Watch, Fitbit Versa, and the Ionic. It will be released on March 31st, so it's not out.
Mm.
It tracks the ongoing outbreaks, trends, and densities of cold and flu areas and give users a real-time health outlook. It's learning algorithms that uses data from the Apple Watch and matches it with your personal health data patterns that can then predict oncoming sickness like cold or flu. And these predictions can happen before the person even starts feeling the symptoms.
Wow.
So this is something we talked about earlier that some was in the works. And this may be something Apple was even working on. But the weird thing about this is you can't get it until the 31st. I clicked on their website. And I went to click on download, which I know it's not there yet, and then nothing happened. But then I went to contact them because I wanted to try to get a pre-release version of this to test it so we could do a review of it. The email to their company, first of all, when I filled out their form for an email, clicked on it, nothing happened. So then I saw the actual address and entered that email address, sent it, and it came back to me undeliverable.
No kidding.
So I don't know about this. Either they have a really bad, unfinished website, or there's something weird going on here. But just
that's
thought
unusual.
Yeah, just thought I'd mention that. This is, sounds almost too good to be true. Sometimes it is.
That's right.
So maybe this is.
They weren't asking you for money yet.
No,
right,
no,
beforehand.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So
I'm just wanting information. I'd love to have someone up from here on the show if this is real,
Maybe their servers were overloaded with millions of hits or something.
It looked like it wasn't even finished. I mean, it looks nice, but the fact that buttons weren't working made me think, normally you get an error or something, but nothing.
Yeah.
And I tried different browsers too, so maybe that wasn't it. But maybe they just haven't activated it yet because it's not out yet. But maybe I'm too quick here. I got the this is from a website called AI in Healthcare.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
So anyway,
it's odd.
I can't wait to get my hands on this if it's real, because I think this is that and the other app would be phenomenal right now. And I think you're going to see more of this sort of stuff coming out to help everybody.
You reread the sentence you read to say how it works, and it's using health patterns to predict, not symptoms. So I don't know how that would work.
Well, what it's doing, I would imagine, is it knows your patterns of your heart rate, right? And it knows the patterns of your sleep, let's say. And there may be changes in that before you even realize it. And it may trigger something in there to tell you, you're 10% there, you're 20% there. They may have an algorithm that knows certain criteria that you're starting to get close to. In other words, before someone gets a cold or before they get a flu, does their heart rate accelerate slightly, but you don't realize it? Stuff like that. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Wow, that algorithm would be priceless.
That's what I'm saying. It's AI. It's yeah. Why not? But we'll see.
All right. Yeah. We'll see. It's only a couple weeks away, right?
Yeah. A couple weeks away. It's either going to happen or it's not, but it's exciting to talk about, isn't it? And
it
again,
doesn't say sponsored by camera at the bottom, does it?
No, it doesn't, but it very well could be. But like I said, at the top of the show, man, a temperature sensor in the watch would go a long way to something like this, wouldn't it?
It would. It would.
You could slightly get a slightly elevated temperature and not know it, but your watch would know it and could alert you. You might want to take your temperature. What's going on, especially if you're not exercising or doing something, some activity, right, that might increase your body temperature. But
yeah, I'm just thinking about real life application. Like today, in some of our European offices and overseas offices, everyone has to get their temperature taken before they get in the office.
Yeah.
And if you had a watch or a Fitbit or a device that did it for you and communicated it before you're walking in, that'd save a lot of time.
It would. And maybe we'll get there someday. But it would.
Did I say that lady's name? Because all of a sudden I'm looking at my phone. I've got the longest text message in the history of text messages. I must have said something to her and she's recording everything I said. I'm not kidding you. It's ridiculous.
I've done that before.
I didn't send it to anyone.
Like a paragraph or two. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like three paragraphs.
It's like dictation. She's recording.
Everything I just said.
Well, keep that. That's a backup copy of the show. So,
absolutely.
All right. Let's move on to what we like this week. And since you had already kind of mentioned this, why don't you go first, Chris?
Sure, Tom. So I think about a year ago, every year I tried to, my New Year's resolutions around learning and reading, not necessarily behaviors, because I know I can't keep the behavioral ones. So I do stuff that I have a little more control over. So 2019 was the year of the iPad. I was using it for watching Netflix and looking at email and going on, news sites. So it was really just, I was just using it as something that wasn't really worth $1,000. So I said, of course I was taking with me when I traveled my work PC, my Mac and my iPad, because I needed to do things with my small business when I'm away, and I have everything on my Mac I can't do anything personal on my work machine. They just wouldn't let me do it. So I wanted to get rid of the device. I wanted to just carry two with me. So I went on the endeavor of using my iPad to do everything that I could. And so a year later, I'm fully operational. And I'm joking. There's one thing I can't do that I figured out I can't do, and I'll tell you in a minute. It's kind of insignificant, but it's kind of odd. But,
okay.
But anyway, I've gotten used to the touchscreen. That really does take a little more. I create Excel now. I create Word. I create PowerPoint. Now, what I need to do those three tools for like my small business is nothing extravagant. If I wanted to do things like I do at work, I would probably need a computer. But it works good. You can put documents together and flyers and spreadsheets and presentations and do all the formatting. It takes getting used to because you're touching the screen and it's a little different way to do all the commands. And that's why I'm excited about this keyboard. I think I'll be much more productive because you can do the key commands and the key shortcuts instead of using your fingers. So I'm excited. But I do all kinds of creating documents. I use the multitasking all the time now. I mean, you probably know that you could have three apps open simultaneously on your screen. You could be on a web page and find something you like and select it and drag it to a note on the same screen, and it just copies and pastes it. It's fantastic. So I'm very efficient with. You can throw Netflix on and have a movie playing in the lower corner while you're working. which is really good. I do that all the time. So multitasking is fantastic. I use AirPrint to print documents. So when I'm home and I need to print, it works fantastic from anywhere in your house. And you just pull up the document, select print, and you select your printer and go, and boom, done. It's very effective. So printing is very easy. I use Dropbox for, storaging and sharing of documents between devices. And I think I mentioned, I tried to use the app native to the Files app. It was just a little quirky and clunky for me. And what was happening is, I don't know how I was doing it, but if I was on my iPad and I was using an Excel file that was for like my small business, but then I opened a file that was, because I can get on my work, I can go on my work OneDrive, the shared drive, and I pull up an Excel file, it would lock the other Excel file saying, hey, this file is not, it's a personal file, you can't use it anymore. I'm like, this is quirky as heck. Dropbox, it doesn't do that. It's very clean. So I don't know. I just don't use the Files app. I use Dropbox. It just seems more robust to me. But maybe I was just doing something wrong with the Files app. I use something called Splashtop. And Splashtop is a tunneling protocol that I can get into the back office of my small business. So I can just, within 20 seconds, I can go from opening my iPad to working on my back office computer.
Nice.
So that's a neat thing. And then, I take notes with the pencil on an app called Note Shelf at work, and I can, save it as a PDF and send it to my colleagues. They can't read my writing, but they know that I'm going to send them the notes when I'm done with the meeting. Happens all the time. And then, you know, kind of linking to what I've talked about the last month, I can access Microsoft Teams in OneNote at work and do everything I need to do, which is great. You can put up to 15 apps in your dock that are static, and then three that rotate, and that's really neat. And then, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this, Tom, but go into an app on your iPad, just hold down the Apple key, or, you know, it's above the Command key, just hold that down, and it brings up a screen that tells you everything you can do with shortcuts for that app. Nice, so, yeah. You know, you can use, command tab, you can go from switching apps, command space gets to the search, but there's a lot of shortcuts, which actually, you know, will be helped with the new trackpad and the new keyboard. But and then, of course, I've done the podcast on my iPad when mm-hmm. I forget my Mac. You know, I know I'm going to be traveling and doing the podcast, I take my Mac just because it's a better setup, but I've forgotten it a couple of times.
So would you say you're 95% of the way there?
Easily, yes.
Okay.
The only thing I was coming on to my last thing.
Okay.
The only thing I can't do on my, and it's really odd and specific, but the only, every month when I have to download my bank website for my small business and send it to my CPA so she can do the P&L for the business, I can't do it on my Mac. There's no button on the website of the bank, but I open up my Mac, or I can't do it on an iPad. Open the Mac and do it, and there's the button. Download, right? Go to the. So there must be some quirkiness in the mobile enablement of the website that doesn't let me download.
Did you try Chrome instead of, or Safari?
I tried a couple of them. Oh, okay. So, but you know what? I'm gonna try.
Mobile. I tried.
I have not done Firefox, but I've done Safari and Chrome.
That's a problem on their end. That's.
I think so. Yeah. I've mentioned it to them, but they're a billion-dollar bank. They could care less, probably.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, Chris, we'll get right on that.
You bet. Tomorrow morning, you'll have it up and running.
Exactly.
So I'm definitely 95% there.
That's great.
Now I find myself opening and creating a Word document really quick. Where a year ago, I was like, "Oh man, this is really clunky." So I know that's a lot to say about the iPad, and this is the Apple Watch show. But
no, that's fine. It's workflow.
I think it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all pretty neat. So if you want to really use your iPad as something more than watching Netflix, man, you can do it. You just got to dedicate your time to it and make it work.
And I think that's the key is if you try to do something that it can do and you don't quite know the steps, you get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do it often, you'll forget, even if you figure it out at some point. But if it's something you do all the time, you force yourself to do it over and over and over, it becomes no big deal.
It is. And that's where I'm at now.
And you're probably a lot faster with some of that stuff than, because that would be my other question.
Certainly.
Yes, you can do it on your iPad, but is it faster to do it on your laptop?
If you're creating an intricate PowerPoint, yes, no doubt.
Yeah, okay.
And if you're doing an Excel spreadsheet that you want to have more than just summing columns,
yeah,
or doing basic math, absolutely.
It's better on doing it. Did you see with that video how you can now, with that new trackpad, you can tap in an individual cell and the spreadsheet? It's really cool.
And like today, you put your finger up there and you tap it once, and it brings up the bar, and there's something called fill, right? You just grab it and drag it, and it fills for you. So it's there,
right?
But it's a couple steps. It looks like on the new trackpad, you can just drag and drop like you do on your Mac.
And the trackpad, you have the gestures that you can swipe between apps and it's just great. It's been needed for quite some time. So I'm glad Apple did. Yeah. See, I use my iPad completely different, and this is turning into the iPad show, but I use it for some of that stuff, but for me, it's more a drawing tool. That's what I use to draw with. So the pencil is very important, and that ability to draw is very important. What I can't do with it, I mean, I could, but it would take me way too long to do, is graphics. So if I'm creating emails, you know, and with photos and images and saving them in file formats and, you know, assembling them together to create that I'd have to have my laptop for, and for any video work that I do. There's just, you can do it on an iPad, but I have to have the way I'm set up in Final Cut Pro. It's just so much faster for me to do it that way. And it's getting there, but it's not quite there. So I still have to carry both devices, but that doesn't mean
we have
that,
different. We just have different needs and uses. For
exactly,
it,
but it doesn't mean that this new iPad Pro and the new keyboard isn't going to make even that experience so much better. I think.
Definitely.
I hope. At least that's my justification for for spending. Yeah, exactly.
$1,500.
Right. Yeah. So what I like this week is the new iPad Pro and keyboard. That's not what I like this week. But it is some of the best news I've heard all week. What I want to recommend here is there's two audiobooks, and I think I may have mentioned one of these before, so bear with me if I'm repeating myself, but it just dawned on me that people now have a little bit of time and this might be some time to listen to this. Both of these are by the same author. If you enjoy science, biology, and history, these have a lot of that in them. And the author is Bill Bryson. And the first book is called A Short History of Nearly Everything, in which he takes you through, well, just about everything from from the cosmos to the microscopic. And he explains it all in a way that is very easy to understand. And you may have heard of some of this in school, but not the way he explains it. It's just fascinating stuff. And you learn so much about it. The second book is called The Body, A Guide for Occupants. Okay. And in this one, he starts at the top of your head and goes all the way down to your feet to explain everything about the human body. And again, it is fascinating and informative. And, you know, for some, it might be too much right now with the virus going around to get all that info, but I found it interesting and it made me understand what's going on at a cellular level, at least a little bit better. I highly recommend both of these. Again, they're long and they're full of details, but they're very interesting to listen to if you like that sort of thing. The first book, The Short History of Nearly Everything, is a little older because I noticed references to things. It's you know, some of that stuff doesn't change, but some of the science stuff has updated in time. But he doesn't read that book. He reads the second book and a lot of his more recent stuff. And I love it when the author reads it. He's got a great voice, and it's just so much better when the author reads it themselves. It's still good, but it is a little different. You'll notice two different voices with it. I love his stuff. I can't get enough of it. He's written several other books that I've listened to on audio, but these in particular were pretty pretty telling. And I was listening to both of these here recently before any of this happened, which is interesting. He throws in a lot of great little historical things, and he gives credit to all these scientists and all these people you've never heard of who were the first to discover this or discover that, you know.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's chock full of information. I wish when I was in school it was presented this way, because I might have absorbed so much more, you know, than
is
textbooks.
Is it like one guy, or does he have like a staff that does the research for him?
I don't know.
Is it kind of him doing it?
It's weird because the first book is from like, I don't know for sure. It's like early 2000, I want to say 2004 or whatever. But there's a section where he reads something about the body that he then repeats in this book that just came out this past year. He repeats almost word for word. So he's picking up from his other work for that. So, I mean, he does a lot of investigation himself into this. The reason he did The Short History of Nearly Everything was he was tired of hearing things and not knowing. Like how did they know what the temperature is on a planet that's a million light years away? How do they know all that kind of stuff? So he dove in and learned all this stuff and put it all into a book so that we all could understand how.
That sounds really neat.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. I'll put a link in the show notes to both of those, but they're fantastic. Anything he does, I love. Absolutely love.
Sounds a lot better than the book I just read, although I should say that it was an awesome book. I read a book about baseball cards.
Oh, that sounds
baseball
good.
Cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. So
sounds very interesting.
It was actually pretty neat. It wasn't about the cosmos, but you'd be surprised.
Oh, speaking of cosmos, there's another thing to recommend. New season. Just came out. Though frustratingly, you cannot watch it on Apple TV through the Nat Geo app yet.
Oh, no.
For whatever reason, you can't watch full episodes there at all. You have to watch it through your cable or whatever so far. It's I don't know why they do this, but anyway, it's out. I haven't watched it yet. I've recorded a couple on my DVR, so but I'm looking forward to that.
Very cool.
Yeah. Is there anything else before we put our watch in self-quarantine mode for the week?
No, just to say, again, I hope Vincent feels better.
Yes, yes. I hope he does. And that is all the time we do have for this episode. So thank you, Chris, for being here. And again, Vincent, hope you're feeling better. Again, I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to the stuff we talk about on each and every episode can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service that you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.